That's Gary, U.S. Bonds, on an album called Back in 20. And that's guesting Bruce Springsteen and Southside Johnny. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. My take on that is us old dogs know some tricks that the young dogs will never get right.
That's exactly right. And we wish we knew them when we were young.
Exactly. That's the other twist. Southside Johnny is with me on WBGO in the blues break. And good to have you. The grandfather of the Jersey sign.
Oh, please.
Aren't you tired of that?
I'm sick of it. I mean, a godfather, grandfather. I mean, for a guy who has no kids, how can I be a grandfather? And besides, we all were in it together. I'm not taking the blame.
But the twist on that is you should be the father of as opposed to the grandfather of. So they just made you even older in your...
Yeah, well, can't I just be the weird uncle?
I like that.
Yeah, I'm the weird uncle of the Jersey Shore sound.
Southside Johnny, the weird uncle of the Jersey sound, is with me on the WBGO, and he's going to be performing at the Wilkins Theater at Kane University in Union this Saturday evening, and you're going to perform with us.
Yes, I have my keyboard player, songwriter, friend, buddy, band leader, pain in the butt, Jeff Kazee. Yeah, my foil.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
What are you going to do? What do you got?
We're going to do a Junior Wells song. As you were mentioning before, who knows who wrote it, but Junior Wells did it. And then we're going to do it. Everything I say, little by little, I'm losing you. I can see bit by bit, your love slipping away from me. What you doing, baby? You know it ain't right. I'm worried about you, baby. I can't sleep at night. Little by little, I'm losing you, I can see. Bit by bit, your love slipping away from me.
Look out now.
In my car, scared I might find what I was looking for. Little by little, I'm losing you, I can see. Bit by bit, your love slipping away from me. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Southside Johnny harping and singing with Jeff Kazee, playing piano and singing along. Little by Little. And again, they're going to be at the Wilkins Theater of Kane University.
We're keen about it.
You're what?
We're keen to do it.
Oh, no, yes, I get that.
It's very kind.
Yes. This Saturday evening with the band, right?
With the Jukes, all of the Jukes, each and every one.
I never think of New Jersey as having juke joints.
Actually, we probably did way back when. They were kind of universal in that whether black or white workers would have some place to go and somebody would play piano or guitar and people would dance and drink. And then the jukebox came along. And
there's that. I never think of that. You think of juke, you think of the South, and it's something to do with process.
I think wherever working men were in the 1800s, there was some little shack somewhere out in the woods or something where people go let their hair down after working all week.
So were you playing Oodles in Asbury Park, and that's where Asbury Jukes come out from?
Yes.
You're actually from Neptune.
I'm actually from Ocean Grove, God's square mile of health and happiness.
That's where you live again still, too, right? You still live there?
Yes, I do. I washed up there about 10 years ago. I lived in numerous other places, and I had a house in Delaware and on a wetlands that was grandfathered in, and I had a septic system that didn't work anymore. And I had to drive 4 miles to go to the bathroom, and I thought, maybe this isn't the best thing for me.
Ah, yes, something to that effect.
So somebody had
especially as you get closer to 70.
Yeah.
He also quit the music business for a while, about over 20 years ago, and he moved to Nashville.
Yeah, so, to get away from the music business. It didn't last long.
What did you do there then?
I played with lots of people. I got roped back into the music business.
Moving to Vegas.
But it was such a great scene. Nashville is such a great town, still is. There's a million small places to play and work out what you're trying to do. There's all kinds of music. You know, it isn't country and western. I mean, you rarely hear country and western in the clubs unless you go to specifically see a C&W act. You're going to hear rhythm and blues. You're going to be rock, folk, every type of music there is.
We were talking before that according to Wikipedia, and so it must be true.
Of course.
You're the grandfather of the New Jersey sound. And what does that mean? What is the New Jersey
sound? It means
sound?
I was the oldest, I guess.
Something to that. I mean, it says John Bon Jovi has acknowledged Southside Johnny as his, quote, reason for singing.
I'm not taking the blame for that one either.
Aha.
And like I say, I'm just the weird uncle that they let hang around.
But you and little Steven, who's little Steven Van Zandt, is a good friend of this radio station.
Yeah.
And you guys were the guys early on.
Yes, when we were 16, 17 years old, we met at a place called the Upstage Club, and Bruce came and played there too, and Gary Talent, and all these different, Davy Sanchez, and it just was a gathering place for musicians. It was open till 5 o'clock in the morning. So even if you had a gig and you got off at 2:30, you'd head over to the Upstage Club. And we learned our chops there. We played all kinds of music. We played with a million different people and we became good friends. And I think we realized early on that being from New Jersey was going to be one of these handicaps because it was such a joke state. And we all got chips on our shoulders about it. That's why it's the Asbury Jukes, Greetings from Asbury Park. John Bon Jovi did an album called New Jersey. We wanted to kick ass. We wanted to prove that we were worthy of being in with the cool New York dudes.
Were you somewhere on the South Side that you got called South Side Johnny?
Yeah, I lived in the South Side of Ocean Grove, a Methodist retirement town. It was the rough section.
Ah, okay. That's how
no. It was because of my love of Chicago blues, like we just played Junior Wells and Muddy Waters and all the rest of those guys. And Bruce had come back from going to see his parents in California, and he was dead broke. And we were dead broke, too. But he started a band because they offered him some shows at different places, and he didn't have a band at that time. So it ended up being this huge conglomeration of people. We had a choir. We had a Monopoly game on stage. We had a band, Baton Twirlers, and everybody had to have a nickname. He became Dr. Zoom. Steven became Miami Steve, I think it was. And I became Southside Johnny.
And it stuck.
It stuck. There's many times I've regretted that, but that's okay.
But as long as people know.
Yeah, it makes a distinction. I mean, at least people know who I am when I say that. Even if they run away or try to arrest me, it's still, they know who I am.
The twist about, you know, the Jersey sound or whatever you want to call it, is that in every state, just like in every country around the world, it's not all one thing.
No.
I mean, you go to, you talk about the Newark sound, you're talking about organ records, you know, jams. You're talking about, you know, Jimmy McGriff and Jack McDuff.
Charles Erlin.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, that's a whole other groove. And then, you know, you've also often been connected with, they talked about your Stax-like sound, I was reading, you know.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean,
that's a Memphis thing.
Yeah, that's the kind of music. I liked Motown, but I didn't love it. I mean, Marvin Gaye and those kind of people, yeah, sure. But I really loved Sam and Dave and Otis Redding and all of that stuff, and all of the obscure people, too. We used to collect as much Stax Volt stuff as we could. Everything we could find on that label we would buy, whether we heard it or not. I just liked the rawness of it and the organic kind of openly emotional feel of a singer like Otis Redding in that perfect setting, that perfect atmosphere of a real band playing and making mistakes even, you know, and not the slick production. And that's what I kind of wanted. And Stephen and I, when we started the Jukes, we wanted horns, but it was very hard to find any committed horn players in Esrae Park back in, I guess, the early 70s it was.
So what do you got in the band these days?
I got the best musicians I've ever had. And I'm not going to name them all because I'll probably forget one and then I'll have trouble. But I got three horns and bass guitar, drums, and piano. And he plays organ too, and accordion, and sings, and cowbell. And he plays a lot of cowbell.
You didn't bring it with you.
Well, I'm hoping you'll invite me for an hour show on that.
Just
for,
okay. But in the meantime, would you like to be pianistic for us again?
Sure.
And Southside Johnny, would you like to sing us again? Something that you
something
love.
We got?
We're going to make it up. You want to do that? You want
Which
to do
one
the
you
blues?
Do?
Let's do the slow blues.
Okay.
Do you ever think of me? Tell me, baby, do you ever think of me? Do I ever cross your mind, baby, and ever roll across your memory? You remember, baby, when you used to call me dear? Yes, my dear. Yeah, baby. Used to say, hey, dear. And believe me when I tell you, baby, that was the sweetest thing I ever could hear in my ear.
Cross your mind, babe. Ever roll around your memory?
Southside Johnny is with me in the Blues Break on WBGO with Jeff Kazee. You should have a nickname so I don't have to think about how to mispronounce your last name.
Kazee.
Well, I said it right. But I mean, how many people say Kazee? And
a lot.
Steve Van Zandt calls him Kazee and will continue to call him Kazee.
Kazee. Everything except the right one.
Yeah,
so now he's messing with me.
At first it was just a Steve's usual mispronunciation, but now it's a thing.
Well, they could call you Jeff Keys or Keys Jeff.
Yeah,
or something.
That's too easy, don't you think?
Well, then we need to have a contest or something.
All right, let's do it.
To give you a cooler nickname, you got to be there. You know, he's Southside.
John. Yeah, I was like the toughest kid on my cul-de-sac growing up. So
cul-de-sac Johnny.
Cul-de-sac Johnny. How's that, Jeff?
I like cul-de-sac Jeff.
Yeah, yes, cul-de-sac. I like that.
Or cul-de-Jeff. No.
Now you're taking it further than it needs to go.
Exactly. Okay. So you're going to be at the Wilkins Theater this Saturday evening. That's at Kane University in Union, New Jersey. How far is that from Ocean Grove?
Hop, skip, and a yump.
So it's pretty much everything in New Jersey.
That's one of the good things about it. Yeah, I mean, but we're going to, are we going to New Hampshire? Or no, we're not doing that gig. But we've got a bunch of stuff. We got a one-night stand in Florida coming up.
Okay.
We're going to fly down, play, and fly back.
You have, when you were getting into this music, growing up, you and Steven Van Zandt and all the other cats who were coming up, did you ever think that you'd be traveling around Europe as you so often have done?
No.
And the world otherwise?
It was a dream come true for me. When I was a kid, I used to read all, you know, Hemingway's things about Paris and Sherlock Holmes in London and all these different books about all these exotic places. And I thought, God, I'd love to go there. And, I got into music when I was a teenager. And lo and behold, I got to go to all those places and more places I'd never even heard of. We did a tour of Swedish Army bases one year.
Wow.
And I only took it because we were going to a town called Kiruna, which is above the Arctic Circle. And I always wanted to go above the Arctic Circle, so we did.
You've never been cold enough in New Jersey?
No, but it was great. It was a great trip. But, I mean, it is fantastic. It has been a fantastic opportunity for me to see the world, and I've always wanted to do that.
And it's always surprising.
Right? Always surprising.
Because
always glad to get
out. Nowhere you have expectations do they get fulfilled. There's always something else.
Yeah, there's always something new to see, even in places that we've gone to a lot of times. But I love it when we go to a different place.
But the people like the music no matter where they go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's very energetic, but it's loud, and we're having a great time on stage. There's an emotional component to a lot of the songs, but a lot of them are just, it's R&B. Rock and roll R&B, and there is no more fun, open emotion than just grooving to a song, a great song.
I always thought it was surprising that if I heard BB and Etta James and others playing in France, and then again the same shows in Switzerland, and you would think that the audience in France would be all fiery,
yeah,
and they were much more sedate, as it were. Whereas the Swiss, you think of cuckoo clocks and chocolate, they were nuts.
Yeah.
That's the alcohol.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, it depends on the night, too. I mean, if you have a great night, it doesn't matter. We played Japan for the first time many, many, many years ago, and I was told, listen, they're not going to get up until the end of the show. They're not going to, they applaud, but they're not going to get up. First song, they're all right up at the front of the stage. So you never know.
The twist is, and most people don't realize also, is that there's blues in every culture.
Yeah.
In every music. It sounds different from what you grew up hearing and singing.
Yeah.
But it's all that. The heart of it all is
Bavarian blues.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So is there such a thing as a Jersey blues, something that's industrial, something that's got gardens in it? It's the Garden State, after all. I mean, is there really a Jersey? There's a Memphis blues. There's a Detroit blues. There's a St. Louis blues.
My tomatoes won't ripen.
Talking non-ripening Jersey blues.
Non-ripening, yeah, that's it. I can't say it. I don't know. You know, I mean, the fact is that, to me, the Jersey sound is just a commitment to making music and doing it as the best you can and putting a lot of energy into it. And it is very blue collar for the most part. That's what I grew up with. The bands that played for people who worked all week and then went to some club on Friday night and got seriously inebriated. And they'd sing the dirty songs to Ray Charles, What I Say, and everybody would have a great time. That's what I thought music was, for people to go and lose their worries for a couple of hours while you listen to music. I never thought of it as an intellectual exercise. I always thought of it as much more of a solace for worry and hard work and all like that.
Is that what attracted you to do it yourself?
Yeah.
To go up on a stage and be that?
Well, that and listening to people like Benny King and Ray Charles and going, God, it just moved me so much. Billie Holiday, we just did the Billie Holiday thing. I was one of those people that listened to music and it just lifted me out of myself. And I thought, what a great gift that was. And when I started doing it, I didn't take it that seriously because I never thought I'd be able to do that. But then I started to realize that people would come to see you and they'd want to be taken out of their world, you know. And then you start taking it seriously and you become good enough to actually do that.
And take yourself out into the world.
And we get lost on stage in the music, too. I mean, it's made for us, too.
How much do you improvise the show? I mean, there's a band list or what? I mean, song list?
You want to answer that one, Jeff?
We have a big valise. Do they still say valise?
Yes.
Whatever.
We have a big valise of old set lists. And sometimes we just pull one out and look at it. He'll see the first song. Or he'll write a new one out. And he'll sit there for half an hour and write a list out. And it basically gives an outline of a vibe. And we hit a lot of them. But it's just a guide. So it just gives him something to start off with. But if somebody like passes that week that we really respect, we're gonna fit them in. You know, we're gonna do a Charles Brown tribute. We're gonna do Chuck Berry. We're gonna do
Tom Petty.
Whatever. It could be a sitcom star could die or something. We'll squeeze it in there. Or What Town? So the answer is it's highly improvised, but it does have structure because we know a lot of songs, and John's got the kind of mind that follows you know, he pulls a thread, you know, and let's see what it leads us to. And usually pretty good. Sometimes dead ends, but we fight our way back out, you know. And that's where the fun is, you know. It really is for us.
Yeah, you can't do the same thing every night.
And people like it, you know.
I think they come to so many different shows because the shows are always different. You never know what's going to happen, and I don't either.
We'll have a core of like 8 or 10 songs that we're always going to play.
Yeah.
I like to put cats on the spot when they come in, and I know you have some songs that you were going to do, yeah. But in the meantime, right now, Jeff, can you just start plinking at the piano and see where it happens, see what happens between the two of you?
Sure.
Pick
sure.
a key.
You tell me a letter on there, what you got.
I got C, I got A.
Okay.
I got D if you want.
Let's do D.
Sometimes I think I'm gonna lose my mind. Well, there are times I think there ain't nothing left to find. But when you hold me, baby, and make me feel so fine, do something, Kevin.
Southside said he got to hit the road. Left all his money and away he goes, but it's all right. He got them Jersey non-ripened and tomato blues. Hit the road, Jack, gonna be a-waiting for you. Loretta came home last week, went to the Vine. Neighbor stole everything just in time and got the non-ripening Jersey tomato talking blues. You play 3-1-9ers and man, you know you really lose.
Have you sung the Tomato Blues before? The New Jersey Tomato
we
Blues?
We got the title from the previous conversation.
That's no. What I was saying. Well, beefsteak tomatoes, right? They come from New Jersey.
Yeah.
The best tomatoes in the world come from New Jersey.
There you go. So sooner or later, Tomato Blues.
So that's what happens. We will talk about something backstage, and we won't think of it. And South won't cop to it, but he collects things. He it seems like he's not listening. And then he has this arc, and then he'll bring it up, and he forms things, and we play off of them. And that's how that works.
They're going to have that all working on Saturday evening. It's going to be at the Wilkins Theater, Kane University in Union. I'm having a good time talking with and listening to Jeff Kazee at the piano and singing, and Southside Johnny singing and harping.
Harping.
You picked up the harp early on?
Yeah, it was the early 60s, believe it or not. Tom, my brother Tom, was into the folk thing, and he went to see Joan Baez in Asbury Park, and she brought out this scruffy young guy, and he played guitar and the harmonica in the rack. And that was Bob Dylan. And we went out and got the first album. And he bought a guitar and a harmonica, one harmonica. But he didn't buy the rack, so he couldn't play both at the same time. So I stole the harmonica and learned how to play Jimmy Reed and, you know, Sonny Boy Williamson and those kind of things. It was just for my own pleasure. I never thought in for one second that I'd make a living at it.
What was the first moment? Did you have that epiphanal moment when you played somewhere and you realized, oh, this is who I am, and I'm going to earn a living doing this?
I don't know as if I ever had that one moment, but it just became more and more serious. And then I think when Bruce put out his first album, at that time we were serious musicians, but all of a sudden it became more real. Because a lot of us never thought we'd get to record because, and I hate to say this, but it's true, we were from New Jersey and we didn't get any respect. I remember where I was working with a band called Sonny and the Starfires. And an owner called up from one of the Cafe Wa or whatever the heck it was in New York. It said, like you to play here, $125. And Sonny said, yeah, that's great. Okay, you can make me a check. You can write me a check. In other words, they had to pay to play in New York City. And Sonny told him to go screw himself, which is good. But that's the kind of complete lack of respect that we got. And so we never really thought we would record. And when it finally dawned on us that this was happening, we started to really take it seriously and really work hard at it. Not that we didn't before. That's the only thing we did, really. Steven and I and Bruce and Gary, we might have day jobs. Or Steven would go to the racetrack and try to win money. But music was the entire being for us when we were teenagers.
And then you fell into show business in a variety of interesting ways, SCTV and movies and on screen and on soundtracks and all of that, which is this
commercials.
Whole other world opening up to you.
Yeah, it's just because, you know, once you put out an album or a couple of albums, you can go out on tour, people see you and they go, he'd be perfect for this, he'd be perfect for that. And they say, you want to try this? And I'm always up for trying new things. Sometimes it works, sometimes it's a miserable experience, but you try it. You never know.
You never know. Well, you never know what's going to happen, except you're going to have a good time. And it's this Saturday evening. It's going to be at the Wilkins Theater, Kane University in Union, and then your New Year's Eve. Now, again, this is your umpteenth New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I don't even know how many times we played the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey. Do you know the zip code, Joe?
No.
Oh, okay. He's supposed to know those things.
Zero seven three seven.
That's it. Anyway, that's New Year's at Count Basie. Yeah, we do that every year. It's always a great. We have a great time.
We'll have a great time one more time with us here. And you did have another song you were going to do.
Yes, but you sidetracked us.
Well, that's the whole point of doing this.
And what show key business. Is this?
We do this thing. Alvin Shine Robinson. We do a couple songs by him.
Okay.
It's a mashup because we're young, hip kids.
Oh, okay.
Mashup, yeah.
Okay.
Lord, I swear, the perfume you wear, made out of turnip greens. Every time I kiss you, baby, tastes like pork and beans. And don't you know that dress of yours, I'm made out of fiberglass. Every time you move like that, I got to go to Sunday class. Whoa, you're so down home, girl. I'm gonna take it to the muddy river and I'll push you in just to watch the water roll on down your velvet skin. I'm gonna take you down to New Orleans, down in Dixieland. I wanna let you do the second line with an umbrella in your hand. I said, whoa, you're so down home, girl. Go ahead, my brother.
Baby, you know I love you so.
so now. Cause it's something that you got for me. WBJJ.
Keen Kane.
They're at WBGO.
You mess him up. Didn't I see what you did?
See, I don't know. Southside Johnny and Jeff Kazee, and they're going to be Wilkins Theater, Kane University, Union, NJ, upcoming this Saturday evening, and again, New Year's Eve, at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank. Indeed, something to that effect. Thanks for bopping by.
Oh, we had a great time. Thank you very much, Mike.